Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Hello, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders. They have wonderful stories to share. Some of them are hilarious, in fact, and they are freely going to share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today with my guest, Andy Murphy, is Your Mind Equals Your Business Level. And I love that title. So 15 years ago, Andy left Liverpool, England for Sydney, Australia, where he discovered NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, I can do this, in real estate sales. And becoming one of the top producers in Australia, he was then headhunted to New Zealand and became the top producer in that country. So at the age of 26, he opened a development company to build, market, and sell a $100 million resort in Fiji. And after taking the project over to Dubai, to sell alongside the Palms and other multi-billion dollar developments. So when global real estate industry began to slow down in 2008, he took his skills into elite level mental performance and now speaks, coaches, and mentors all over the world. And we're going to talk about why getting control of your mindset is the number one thing that will help you stop holding yourself back from success. Andy, good morning. Welcome to your Partner in Success. And apparently Hamilton is going to help us broadcast today. I do apologize for his noise.
We have a co-host, Denise. We have a co-host. Yeah.
He has his name on Facebook. His hashtag Hamilton is an ass, and he just proved it. So
that's
sorry
about
that.
That's a fun. That's a fun element to it. I like it.
So listen, before we get started, let me open the window so he can yell out there instead of yelling in here. When you work from your home office, anything can happen. So did I miss anything important in your, when I was introducing you? Because you have a pretty fascinating story.
Yeah, I suppose we'll get into it. It's no, you didn't miss anything. I mean, it sounds very impressive, but like everything else in life, it doesn't feel impressive as you're going through it, because it's the highs and lows, the pains, the tribulations, and all the rest of it. That's what the journey of life's all about, right?
Absolutely. And, I look back on some of my successes that I didn't stop and pay attention to at the time. It's like, oh, that worked. Oh, cool. Now on to the next thing. And then when you kind of take an audit, you're like, huh, okay, that was cool. Why didn't I give it more weight? I think we all do that.
Of course, it's funny. We always look outside of ourselves for external validation, right? Because there's so many people doing amazing things, and we say it's like if we were to compare ourselves, Denise, against anyone, it's like we're kind of screwed straight away. Because I'm comparing myself against like Tony Robbins. I ain't gonna be Tony, right? He's done his thing and he's worked with who he's worked with, so. It's funny, like these days, I mean, the only other thing, I suppose, off that intro is that I just love to help so many different types of people these days. And it's so different to where I was 15 plus years ago. I mean, I've worked with Saudi royalty. I've worked with people who are running $300-400 million businesses, people who are about to do IPO, and worked with hedge funds, the top internet marketers in the world, the top network marketers in the world, the top forex traders in the world. It just goes on and on. And I've even worked with trauma and abuse and everything. So it gives you a very interesting perspective of the world. And as I say, 26, 27, I was putting together a $100 million resort in Fiji. And so bankruptcy, nervous breakdowns, money being stolen off me, and all of this I'm sure we'll get into.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, the thing is that you're right. When you're going through these things, because we all have our traumas and our travails. We all have things that you wake up in the morning and go, oh, it's going to be a great day. And at midnight, you go, well, that sucked. What happened? But that
true.
Is the life of a solopreneur and entrepreneur. We have to have cast
sure.
iron stomachs. I mean, truly,
yeah,
you know, we have to be a little bit insane and a lot creative, I think. I mean, that's been my experience anyway.
No, it's true. It's out of those darkest moments, or even not the darkest moments, even when things are going amazing, it's to be able to create that consistency or expand or scale that business, or even get yourself out the dark hole. Where does it come from? It comes from your imagination. It comes from creativity. It comes from that resilience. And definitely, it doesn't really matter what level of entrepreneur or person I've worked with, Denise. We're all human. You know, we all have fears. We all get stressed. We all get overwhelmed. We're all dealing with work and life balance. We all have creative moments. We've all got projects that don't go right. We've all got people that have let us down. But at the end of the day, people come, people go. I mean, who's going to be there? Is us. And so we have to make sure that we're always going to be there, right? We're always going to be there. So we have to make sure that we're always performing. The way I like to look at ourselves is that any entrepreneur in the world, or anyone in the world, really, but I like to use entrepreneurs because we're all a little crazy, like you say, and I used to work with so many different types of people back in the day, including professional world champion athletes and fighters, and I just work with entrepreneurs these days because we've all got a little bit of everything in us, you know? We're all a little crazy. We're all a little obsessed. We've all got OCD. We've all got a bit of ADHD, but we've also got tenacity. We've also got drive. We're also massively creative. We also have cast iron beliefs in ourselves and what's possible. And when we can align ourselves on neurology, if you want to call it that, which we'll go more into, but on neurology with our goals and or a vision for the company or expanding it or whatever we're moving into, then when we can create that level of belief and success and that thinking, then this is how life changes very, very fast. And I like to look at business. Here's a mistake that I see everyone make straight away. People think business, Denise, and I'm sure you agree, people think it's about money. People think it's about achieving goals. People think it's about putting the latest and greatest out there. People think it's about being on stage and getting all that recognition. It has nothing to do with it. All of those things are simply symptoms. Yeah, everyone, that becomes their focus. But it's not how you become successful. How you become successful is about understanding that that business is directly a mirror. It's directly a mirror for your own, well, your own growth, your own human evolution, your own internal journey. And when we're on point, your business is on point. When your business is on point, you're on point. If you're in a mess, guess what's going to happen? Your business is probably going to be messy. If your business is messy, I know for sure the wiring in your brain, the thoughts, the feeling, the actions, even the neurochemical cocktails are all very, very off. And that's the world I love to play in.
And see, you're not going to get an argument from me because I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't deal with chaos. Chaos makes my skin crawl. It literally makes my skin crawl.
I will
back away from that so quick. I cannot handle it. I probably could if I wanted to. I don't want to. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be the cause of it. I don't want anything to do with it. But you're right. I mean, everything we do, even your physical body is, to me, it shows what's going on in your head, your heart, your soul. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, no, you're 100% right. I was actually going to say that in Spanish then, but because I'm over in Panama right now, but my Spanish isn't good enough, so I couldn't do it. But I agree with you. It's people, it's so funny that with the culture and society and the way everything's taught us, I personally believe it's wrong. I mean, we're taught to constantly be in action. We're taught to constantly drive. It's very interesting, the Japanese culture years ago, random Japanese reference, but it was like a very Asian understanding that there's a certain etiquette to work. And it was like the person who's there the longest has the most respect for the job. Think about that. So the person that was there to the last thing at night was respected the most in that employment. And it's a bizarre culture that we've society's built around us to always think that we have to be moving forward physically. But yet, the times as entrepreneurs, when do we have the best ideas? When do we get creative? When do we have this aha moment where everything
in the shower
changes?
In the shower, every
yeah,
time.
You got it, right? It's
yep.
In the shower. It's last thing at night. It's when we're right. Driving down the road and we don't have a notepad handy.
You know what
and,
I
and
do?
Well,
I think I might
what
have shared this with you before when we were talking. You know, I have a spa tub. It's my favorite place in the house. I go get in there. I'm in there for a couple of hours. I'm in there with my Kindle. I've got candles lit. I've got essential oil.
Awesome.
I'm happy. When I'm in the shower, same thing. You know, not as much time spent in the shower. That's more of a get in and get out. But both times, I have these, oh, that's brilliant. Well, with my Kindle or
right.
My iPhone, I can record something quick. I damn good. That doesn't work in the shower. You can't take those electronics in the shower. So I went to Amazon and bought some bathtub crayons. I scribble all over my shower. Then I
That's
go take
genius.
A picture. I know, and it's not my idea. A friend of mine gave that to me. Thank you, Julie Jefferson. But then I go in there with my iPhone. I snap a picture of those brilliant thoughts, and I'm off and running. Then I clean the wall, and I'm all happy. I can't stand chaos.
That's really cool.
I mean, get some bathtub crayons. I'm telling you, they'll save your mind.
I love that. But that's the reason. It's because we're not having conscious resistance. Because what happens is, as an entrepreneur or any high performer, it doesn't matter who I've worked with, world champion athletes, putting people on TV sets, it's just all the same stuff. It's a case of we basically go into our prefrontal cortex too much, meaning that's the place of our brain that we're making constant decisions. And often the decisions that we're making are coming from, well, they're not coming from a good place. They're coming from a fear response, meaning, what if this goes wrong? What if this person lets me down? What if I repeat the things from the past? What happens? So our minds, they're always going future. They're always going past. They're always going to the future. They're always going to the past. And so when we can shut off that conscious bit of our mind, it means that we have access to, well, our unconscious or subconscious or our nervous system, where all of these ideas are bouncing around already. And then we can just really get a new possibility, a new way of thinking about a perspective, lateral thinking, whatever you want to call it. But when our minds are constantly in action, then, and they're not designed the right way, and we're not using anchoring and training it the right way, then it just becomes in control. And if it's connected to a fear response or the amygdala, if we want to go into the brain, then what happens is it's constant making irrational perceptions about the future that's not real, by the way, or it's making us remember the past in a certain perspective. And that's not real either. It's just our version of reality around it. It's just our memory around it. And that's what people have got to understand about our future thoughts or our past thoughts. None of them are real. It's just how we perceive it, meaning that me, you, Denise, and some other cool people, we could all go out for dinner one night. And I could interview us all a week later and say, what happened that night? Every single one of us is going to have such a unique memory. Like, the waitress was annoying. The waitress was awesome. The music was too loud. The music was too quiet. The seat was bad. The seat was good. The food was good. The food was horrible, right? Everyone remembers it so differently, each with our own feelings, each with our own associations, each with our own perspective. And so when we start to really understand to everyone seeing that world so differently. Each one of us has a very different neural circuit, as I call it. Then what happens is we've got to be forgiving for other people, but we've also got to understand that if we're thinking very uniquely, so is everybody else. So that means people are going to react to things a different way to ourselves, and we're going to react to the world a certain way, depending on how we're thinking that day or what's happening in our life, if that makes sense. It was a little bit of a random tangent, but hopefully something came out of that.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. I have been, of all things, listening to, and I don't even know why I came back to this, but for some reason, you know, years ago I used to listen to Jerry and Esther Hicks. And,
gotcha.
You know, you have to suspend disbelief a bit there, right? And I hadn't paid any attention for a long time, and all of a sudden I decided, well, let me go see what's going on there. And oddly enough, a lot of what we're talking about now is what Jerry Hicks has been passed away for some years.
Right.
Same messages. I'm like, oh, I'll be darned. You're saying something that I just heard on a YouTube recording from her. I mean, you're saying it almost exactly the way it was said. There are no accidents, right? But I'm with you. Perceptions are... I had to live this way all of my life. I was born this way. I really don't care what other people think of me. It's not my business.
Right.
It just isn't.
Right.
Because I'm not in charge of your perceptions. I'm only in charge of mine. And sometimes they don't make any sense to me either. So how in the world could I care what you're thinking of me or Billy Bob Joe is thinking of me? It's just not my concern.
Right.
Unless or until you do something that directly impacts me, and then I'll punch you in the nose. But other than that, we'll get along just fine.
I get it. And that's a great thing. And two things you said there that were great. One, yeah, it's funny that you're listening to Esther again. I used to listen to Esther many, many years ago. But that brings up a conversation, whether you're talking about the universe, whether you're talking about quantum physics, whether you're talking about neuroscience and neurolinguistics and all the science. Guess what? It's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
It's all exactly the same thing. Just different
modalities.
That's
the conclusion I have arrived. Yep, it's all the same thing.
It is. It's all the same thing.
I mean, there's really
nothing
new under the sun.
No. This is stuff's being taught since thousands and thousands of years. It's less new than we even can imagine. But the point is, it just has to be spoken in a way that modern audiences can really understand it, because people are educated these days. And those cheese ball motivational speakers that are standing on stage and like, be like me, give me your credit card, get to the back of the room, right? All of those people are realizing that people are more switched on these days, and you shouldn't want to be like them anyway. You should want to be like the best version of you, right? Because there's no such thing as a guru. No one has all the answers. Everyone is just doing the best. Some people like myself and yourself, Denise, we've just got way more experience down a specific path. So we spent more time, effort, and energy gaining a specific set of skills down a very specific path. And that's the same with anyone in any business. So the second thing I love what you said was, it's not your business what someone else thinks. Yeah, it's probably the number one thing that either becomes a problem in whatever level entrepreneur I've worked with. It either becomes a problem or it becomes a driver. And what I mean by a driver is that motivator. So people sometimes, they really use that as a fear thing to create action. So I don't like this way of doing it. Let me explain. So there was an old, I'll use a martial arts story. a lady called Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey got very famous.
Heard of her. Yeah.
See, that's
didn't
right.
She get,
everyone's heard of Ronda.
Didn't she get her butt kicked pretty badly?
But that's a fight. Yes, she did. But that's
okay.
The world of fighting. It's not WWE. It's real martial arts, you know.
Right.
Yes, she did, though. A couple of times.
Okay.
But before that, she was an incredible success. I mean, she's been in the Olympics. She was one of the top judo girls in the world since she was a very little kid. And then she basically was undefeated in the UFC for a long, long time, when she was the pioneer. But this is what I believe was a downfall. And I actually predicted that she'd lose before she did, and I did a whole podcast and everything about it. But the reason is I saw her body language, and I watched her move up to that event. And she always used an internal motivator that got taught by her mom, because her mom was very successful at judo too, maybe even more than Rhonda. And the driver was, it was always like an angry motivator. I'm number one. You can't beat me. Watch me win. Watch me win. Watch me win. And that was what's inside. So imagine, first of all, what is the dominant emotion? The dominant emotion is anger. But what's anger linked to? I might
fear.
Not be able to do this. You got it.
Anger is always fear. Yeah, fear. Yep.
Always fear. Always a fear yep. response. So if the fear response is there, it means we're switching on the amygdala, the fight, flight, or freeze response. Everyone talks about the fight, flight, but the biggest one is the freeze. And what happens is when you're going out into the world or into the ring or like she was, then guess what's happening? You're coming from that driver, which means what do you care about? Where's your focus? You have an external focus. You have an external focus on other people's opinions, and that means you're going to prove people wrong. When you start to come from, right, when you start to understand this as a driving force, then what we're doing is your focus is constantly external, which means your belief isn't about yourself. It's a fear response belief. It's not a confidence, dominant, present response. So you're coming from very different parts of the brain and different parts of the nervous system producing very different chemicals in your brain. So Rhonda, this was her go-to strategy. But guess what? The more and more successful you get, what happens is in using that strategy, it hits a level, it hits a ceiling where the pressure starts to grow more and more and more and more on you because you're trying to prove so much to the world that is a big, overwhelming weight. And then what's going to happen next is in whether it's in business or it's fighting in a ring, to me, it's the same thing. Because what we want to have is an unconscious pattern automatically playing. The way we think, feel, and act needs to be automatic. Because what that means is we want that pattern or program to take over, which then goes into flow. Because if we're in a fear response, it means that we're basically calculating our next move. If we're calculating our next move, it means we are out of flow. We are in a wrong brainwave frequency, which also means then we are using something called the prefrontal cortex. So we're questioning. And if you're questioning that program right there of flow, the automatic pattern is not switched on. And so that, what I believe, was what happened to Rhonda. And it's also the same thing as I see when in any athlete, for sure, but in any level of business, whether I'm helping a client get from 6 to 7 figures, 7 to 8, 8+, it's not really about the money. It's about them growing into being able to always and perform in a very peak state, depending on what area of life, because we can talk about alter egos in a second if we want to. But to perform in that very specific area of life, we have to be in flow. And so when we can do that and we've already pre-trained the unconscious or the nervous system to respond a certain way with certain views, certain focus, certain beliefs, certain attitudes, certain way we think, feel, and act about ourselves, the future, clicking that mouse to trade or going into that business merger or going through an IPO or whatever the heck it is. What we want is you to be present so you're automatic, so everything just flows. Now, that's a very long-winded explanation, but hopefully that all clicks together and makes sense to me.
Well, it makes sense to me because I completely understand about flow. I mean, when I'm out of it, I don't like that. I really don't.
No, absolutely
like, well,
not.
Darn it. What happened? But you know what
exactly.
I do? I've trained myself to just walk off, get up, because as creatives, you can only sustain that flow for so long. You get worn out. And,
absolutely.
You know, I'm a techie creative. I build websites. I create funnels. I do all kinds of things. And that
right.
takes a lot of creativity, but it takes a lot of technical
huge.
Knowledge as well. And, you know,
absolutely.
After a while, my brain is saying, leave. Just leave. So I
but
listen. And I do. And I go outside. And, you know, I've got this wonderful backyard that I've kind of created that almost acts and behaves like a secret garden. And,
nice.
You know, in Louisiana, we have basically two seasons, hot and hotter in hell. And then every once in a while, we have the mud season, which is about where we're at right now. It doesn't matter to me. If it's raining, if it's muddy, if it's dry,
that's
I don't
nice.
Care. I will go outside, kick off my shoes, get underneath my pecan trees, and I just close my eyes and ground myself back to
nice.
The earth. And sometimes, you know, it's quick enough, it'll help. But other times I have to say, you know, I'm taking the day off. I'm out of here. But you
yeah.
can't push through those kinds of things, can you? You have to give your brain a break.
You're right. And that's part of being in peak performance is why you're successful is being able to recognize when you have mental or physical fatigue. And I use a lot of different ways like nootropics and all this different stuff, but meditation, binaural beats, all this crazy stuff's amazing. And so for you to walk outside and go reset, Denise,
mm-hmm.
is beautiful. From my side, what's happened is we've actually created something called a pattern interrupt. So we're interrupting the sequence or program or version of you that you were doing that's feeling those things. And then you've gone outside, you've changed your emotion. And because you've changed your emotion, you've changed your belief and attitude towards what you're about to do, which means you're in a very different state. And when you're there, the world seems different. And then you either take the day off, which is a buffer day, which is necessary sometimes, or you go back in, you've reset, and you go back in and you allow yourself to go back into flow. So I couldn't think of anything better to do than get outside and reset, especially with your feet in the grass.
Well, it just makes sense to me. In fact, on Friday, we were supposed to, you know, have our original recording last week. And
yes.
my internet just said, no, I'm taking the day off, and it pretty much did. So I finally reached you. I was in a total snit. It took me about 3 hours to get an email through to you. And after that, you know, I was actually kind of laughing. After we talked, I felt so much better. But I was already in my snit, and I didn't want to give it up. I was enjoying it.
And it
so
happens
just,
like that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, heck with it. I'm, you know, I've got a slow day anyway. I'm going to take the rest of the day off. And I did. I spent it in my backyard, you know, underneath
yeah.
the pecan trees I was reading. But you know what happened? Once I reset, I just went into this total creative mode, and I knocked out two websites
right.
in 2 days. It was crazy. But I couldn't
That's awesome.
Stop. I was so in that flow. And I'm still kind of in it.
Beautiful.
So, but sometimes you just
Beautiful.
Have to back the heck off, right?
You do. You have to. I mean, it's so funny as human beings, you know. We think we're so important, and we think everything is about us, and we get so caught up in attachment or time or ego or whatever you want to call it. And the truth is, if that website didn't get finished today, the earth's not going to explode. You know, everything's going to be okay. But we start to get so obsessed with stuff. And the way, again, society has designed our brain, especially with social media, we get instant gratification, right? We get instant results because we like and click and everything gets given to us nice and fast. And it's so funny with the new generation that's coming through, because I've spoken to quite a lot of them. And I've read a lot of different interviews and stuff, and the millennials, and it's if they're so used to getting everything fast that it takes a very special millennial to understand that things take time. You know, whether it's to grow a certain way of seeing the world, it's to grow muscle on your outside, or it's to get a result in your business, or to learn a new skill. It takes time, and it takes a lot of work, and it's it's so interesting to be the age that I am now and be able to look back on my journey. And like what you just said before, Denise, ego and attachment can be devastating. It can be devastating. And really, that's what crushed me when I was 27 and went through bankruptcy and everything from having money stolen off me from a business partner. And I put myself through hell for a couple of years. And it's like there was no need. It was just my identity was so caught up in the future, or my identity was so caught up in the things that I told people, that it was very hard to let that go and reset, or to let go of everything and really change your life in a completely different direction. And I've done this. I've lived in 7 different countries now, And it's very easy for me to do that. And I like the challenge and the change these days. But when you're coming from such an attachment place, it means that you're coming from a really, like what we spoke about before, that fear place. And when we're coming from that fear place, it really restricts us to what we think is possible. And we're not living in abundance. We're not living in flow. You know, we're coming from a very different part of our brain. And we've all been there, and we all get there every week. We just, it's our responsibility to be able to move out of it, you know?
You know what I have found? It's hard to stay in a snit. This is true. I mean, every once in a while, you know, you just kind of wake up on the wrong side of the bed. That's a silly saying, but it happens. And you wake up and you go, I hate everybody. I don't want to brush my teeth. I'm just miserable. And I mean, I will give myself, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm scheduled pretty tightly. I have to be in the industries that I live in. But I will, when I know there's a snit coming on and I can feel them, it's almost like at the back of my head. It's like I'm just going to hurt somebody. I will literally schedule myself what I call a nervous breakdown, which means I'm going to go sit on the couch with my cat and watch cartoons. That's it. That's my nervous breakdown. I schedule it. Yeah, and I have a good time with it. And, you know, I may stomp around for a little bit and mutter under my breath. And after a while, because we're all looking at ourselves, I don't know, we all do this. I don't know if we recognize we do it, Andy, but we're all looking at ourselves. We're all kind of standing back in the corner watching ourselves be an ass, right? Yeah. Or an idiot.
Yes, absolutely.
Or whatever it is
I'm
doing. And after a while, my corner self says, you're funny. And then I start laughing with my alter ego over there who's just pointing fingers and laughing at me. And I cannot have a snit that lasts more than about 15 minutes. I've tried. I really have tried. It doesn't work.
Hey, you're doing whatever you're doing. You're doing very well, because I know there's people out there going, Denise, that's pretty special. How'd you do it in 15 minutes? Is that just from wisdom? Is that just from practice? Is that from something you've always been able to do?
No, I used to have a fairly nasty temper. I mean, I really, growing up as a younger person, I was a vicious little person. You know, if you got in my way, I would take you out. And I was smart enough to do it. So. But over time, I realized that I didn't like myself very much. I mean, who could?
Right.
I mean, I was just a brat. So after a while, and I have a pretty snarky sense of humor, and I decided I'm going to go on the humor side, and I'm going to leave the bratty side over there sulking in the corner.
That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
I mean, I laugh at myself more than anything else. I have a good time.
Life's not that serious, right? And we're definitely not that serious.
It's not. I mean, if you let it be too serious, you're probably doing life wrong. It's my attitude. Have a good time. I mean, you can't have a good time all the time. You can't party all the time. But, you know, you've got to be able to look at yourself and go, well, that was stupid. It was kind of funny, but it was stupid. Okay, let's move on to something else.
Absolutely. I love that. I do. Because you know what? It's like the happiest people I've ever seen in my life is the Balinese and the Fijians. And they've just got a few things right. And what they've got right is creating a very simple life. A very simple life. And people out there are probably saying, Andy, what are you talking about? You're working with 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs. They don't have a simple life. But what they can have, including myself, and I'm sure with yourself, Denise, it's about creating the schedule as simple as possible. It's about being organized. It's about being disciplined with that time. And when you can do that, then you create a simple life for yourself. And if you can create a simple life, then, and you're doing it with the things that you really love to do and enjoy, then, you know, life's beautiful. And life, I look at it as a ride. I really do. It's like a computer game for me. And that's what I teach in the 8-Figure Thinker training system and all the rest. It's all gamification. Because life is a ride. There's a start, Denise. There's an end. And we go through levels, right? We level up. And truthfully, we don't always make it to the next level. Whether that's us sabotaging ourselves or that's just, hey, the ride is done. But either way, the life starts, the life's going to end, and this bit in the middle is called life. And so we're not that important. There's nearly 8 billion people in the world now, and all we can do is our absolute best. And that's what people need to remember, I think, even in my darkest days or the best days. And my life is amazing these days. But it's a case of we can only do our best. And the goals that we set and the visions that we lock onto about the future and how things must be in this time frame, this way, to do with this person, we can really beat ourselves up if they don't happen in the time or the way we think it is going to. And at the end of the day, a classic statement I really say, I'm not sure where the heck I got it from, but I've been saying it for years as a quote, we get what we're ready to receive.
Absolutely.
And we really do. And it's like I look back and I'm glad that so many different projects went wrong with those people, including when the resort I was putting together. I'm glad it all went wrong because I wouldn't be able to have the wisdom I've got. I wouldn't have had the experiences I've got. I'd have been living a very different life, better, worse, I don't know. But I know that I wouldn't be me. And I know that I wouldn't have helped tens of thousands of people. And I know that I wouldn't think the way I do. And I wouldn't be heart-centered. And I wouldn't be scientific. And I wouldn't be constantly in growth mode. I'd probably be distracting myself with shiny objects. And I'd probably be sad or anxious or overwhelmed or stressed because I wouldn't have found the truth to the way the world works. And the world works what I personally believe is it works through frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It works through
vibration.
Everything. Yeah, vibration.
Everything's an energy. Everything is an energy.
Everything.
Money's an energy.
It really
your cat is an energy.
Yes.
Everything is.
Absolutely.
You know, have
couldn't
you ever done
more.
This, Andy? Have you ever kind of just out of the corner of your eye, I've done this multiple times, it just happens. Yeah, I'll be moving through my house, and I live alone, happily. I will be mm-hmm. this way forever and ever. I'm a highly committed introvert. And all of a sudden, you know, I might be moving my hand to maybe pet the cat or sweep something. You know, maybe I walked into a cobweb. I do that a lot when I'm going outside. And I'll be moving my hand, and out of the corner of my eye, I will see almost a transparency to my own hand, almost like there's my hand is vibrating. And I don't know what that is, but it just seems to me that we are energy. We are vibrating. I think common wisdom now is that none of us are actually solid. You know, there's just so many ways to go down that road. And every once in a while, I'll look at myself and go, I wonder how fast am I vibrating now? Just for fun.
Right.
And then, of course, I can't see a darn thing except my chipped fingernail. So, like, darn it. The minute I focus on it, it goes away.
But you're right in what you just said. And it's a beautiful way to see the world. And that's why I spoke about that before, whether it's the quantum, whether it's the universe, whether it's science, however you want to look at the world. But that's the truth right there. And you asked a beautiful question there. Wonder what I'm vibrating at, what frequency I'm vibrating at. And for people out there going, that sounds so woo-woo, it's okay. Let's chat about that for a second. It
I
is
like
woo-woo, but guess what? But woo-woo is also very real. And I believe that there's multiple parts to understanding this life. We have we have the metaphysical. I really do believe is very real as much as the physical. And you can have everything dialed up in your brain, but we also know what it feels like to be. Let's talk about vibration a second, because we do really know what that feels like. And we all know what it feels like is when we're vibrating low, right? When everything around us sucks, we're doing stupid things, we're hanging around with the wrong people, we're watching the wrong TV shows, we're not doing any routines, we're being sluggish in what we're doing, and all of that stuff, guess what? It feels like a low, darker version of us. And guess what happens? Everything around us starts to suck too. People come in and they start moaning to you. The deals that you're closing are way worse, right? Maybe your closing percentage goes out the window. Maybe you just can't trade anymore. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. And it's like that can also, here's another way to look at it. It's like you could be depressed. And you're depressed and everything dark is around you and you're depressed and everything's crap in your life and everything's going wrong. And then someone walks through the door that you haven't seen in years that you love. And you go, jump up, run over to them, give them a big hug, hang out for 3 hours and you're happy, you're reminiscing, you're talking about the future. Everything's amazing. And you feel incredible. And then they leave and you're standing there going, wow, that was amazing. And then a little voice goes in your head, you're depressed, aren't you? And you go, oh yeah, I forgot I'm depressed. Oh. And then everything goes back to being depressed. Well, 2 seconds ago, you were just full of energy. The world was beautiful.
Right.
But then you're back into depression. Well, guess what? We know that is purely neural nets. It could be frequency, chemicals, whatever. But that is a very different version of us that can change that fast. Well, then we're feeling good. Well, if we keep feeling good, it means our beliefs are a certain way about ourselves, the future, what's possible. It means our network's at the right place. It means we're disciplined with routines, we're eating right. It means that our attitude to our task, the way we value ourselves, and even the way we talk to ourselves, all is in alignment. Well, that feels very light. It feels very flowy. It feels very easy. And guess what happens? Everything around you starts to synchronize and everything else starts to match you. It's like the opportunities appear, people you didn't expect to appear in your life. It could be whoever, you know, opportunities, you just, deals start to happen. Everything feels incredible. Well, if you were to look at a sliding scale and you were to go, that dark version of me is on a sliding scale at this frequency, we all know what that feels like. And then we raise that sliding scale and we go, this is what it feels like when we're thinking and feeling, acting on this light place. Then that feels very different. Well, if we were to imagine both of those different versions and we had that sliding scale, we would be able to tell very easily if that was a frequency, which what that frequency is and that what that feels like, and what that frequency is and what that feels like. And if our only job, I can go into science, we can go into the technique, we can go into the technicality, we can go deep down the rabbit hole, wherever you want to go. But if our only focus, Denise, was this scale or this frequency, low or high, and if that was our only job, then life will become so simplistic. It will become so easy because we could walk into that business meeting. Are we vibrating low or are we vibrating high? And if we're high, then guess what? We're in flow. And if we're in flow, it means our conversations, our tonality, our pace, pitch, timbre of our voice will be a certain way. Our beliefs, the way we react or interact will be a completely different way. And if our only job was that, that we understand that the neural circuit is firing a certain way when we are high frequency or low frequency. And so if our only job was to be high frequency, then it becomes very simple to be able to live life a very different way than what most people do.
But Andy, shouldn't that be your most important job? I mean, shouldn't that be the thing that when you wake up in the morning, you check in with yourself and say, okay, how did I wake up? I know how I wake up because I give my, excuse me, hang on a second. I give my subconscious instructions just before I fall off to sleep. Now, I don't sleep well. Perfect. I never have. It's not something I do easily. Don't even really enjoy it. I've got a squirrel brain. I want to keep going. But just before I know I'm going to be able to put myself to sleep, I will give my subconscious instructions. Okay, this is what I want to think about. This may be what I want to dream about. And hey, by the way, I've got an insurmountable problem. I'd like the answer by 3:18 in the morning, which, by the way, always works. So I tend, you know, I've had to train myself to do this. I tend to tell myself, you're not going to wake up in a crap mood tomorrow, Denise. It ain't happening, hun, as we say in the deep south. It will happen every now and again. But then I stop. I assess where I'm feeling if I'm really low energy. And I feel like just going ahead and going, you know what, I think I'll just have a John Wayne hot chocolate popcorn day. I'll look at my schedule, see if that's possible, and then I'll go watch Harry Potter or something, you know, or go outside and dig in the garden. You have to give, I give myself permission to go, I'm not high frequency today. I need a break. So how do you train people to go walk off, walk it off, or you're going to live in the dumps forever and ever? Amen. So how do you help people with that?
Yeah, there's a million different ways depending on what's creating that emotion inside of them. But even if you like look at you just mentioned waking up in the morning. So I mean, let's even look at that. For people, you don't know what program's being played through your brain if you don't start to take control of the morning, the work to home, which is what I call, and the evening, which is I call reflection. This is my pyramid of peak performance I teach with the 8-figure thinker program. And the end of the day, if you're not doing this, then what happens is you could be waking up in the morning and literally anything could have been happening in your head. So you're waking up already probably in anxiety. So guess what? Are you going to stay in anxiety for the day? Well, maybe, but how's that going to work out, right? It's not going to work out too good. So then becomes your responsibility to start interrupting patterns. The fastest way to be able to interrupt the pattern or a program in your head is to do something that you've already just mentioned. It's by asking questions, right? Or internal dialogue. Now, the best way to do that is what, ask the question, what thought or what feeling is going on in me right now? Once we do that, we're interrupting those synapse connections and we gain a different perspective. We become consciously aware of what's playing unconsciously. And then what happens is you'll notice, well, there's many ways to do this, but if we would just look at the morning specifically, then what we want to do is start to take control over our focus, over the emotion, and over our belief about what's possible that day. Because what happens is anxiety is created from the amygdala, but the amygdala is saying that there is an uncertain future. So when people wake up and they've got all of these things to do that day, their brain instantly starts going, maybe I'll do this. I don't know how this will go. I don't know how that will go. I don't know if this. I've got so much to do. I've got so much to do. I've got so much to do, which instantly creates a spiral and it switches on something called the sympathetic nervous system. So what that happens is we have to take control. So even by you, a lot of people meditate in the morning. I'm a big meditator, but then we've got to add to that. Meditation is just step one. It's about changing brainwave frequency. That's all it is. That's meditation. With the intent to be present. So your future and the past shuts off. But that's only step one once you've done that. Step two is about then directing the neurology. By directing the patterns to form a new habit or to give them a place to go. So what we want to do is, like in the mornings, for example, is to start focusing on the end step of the day. Now, people say, focus on the outcome. But no one has a clue why the heck you do it. No one has a clue. People in the personal development industry drive me crazy because they just regurgitate the same crap without any wisdom behind it or knowledge. So why are people saying you've got to focus on the outcome? Well, you've got to focus on the outcome because you have a filter system in your brain which distorts and generalizes information. So it means don't focus on the ceiling. Don't focus on the ceiling above you. Don't focus on the ceiling above you. What's your brain start to do? I bet you started to think about looking up, if not looking up at the ceiling.
I just looked up at my ceiling fan. I couldn't help it.
There you
I'm
think
so glad we're not recording this. I mean, I'm still looking at my ceiling fan going, you know, I need to clean out that globe. It's got dead bugs in it.
Well, guess what? You taught your brain to consciously focus on something, right? So if we can
No,
do
you
that,
made me do it. I take
well,
no
I
responsibility.
Made you do it.
Yeah. Yes, your fault.
Absolutely. There's NLP for you, right? So what I want you people to do is to focus on that very end step of the day. So might be coming home at the end of the day and something amazing has happened. So you might visualize you getting better, walking through the door at the end of the day and seeing your house and seeing your partner or seeing your cat or seeing an ornament or whatever it is. And as you walk through that day, you just say to yourself, ah, that was amazing. That was an amazing day. And if you can focus on that end step and repeat, 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 what happens is your brain will focus on that very specific thing connected to that very specific emotion. And what happens is your filter in your brain works like Google. Whatever you type in comes up. So if you're focusing on the end step of the day in vivid detail, then that's where your brain's going to get focused. And what that does for you is it does a lot of things in your brain. For a start, imagine something amazing has happened. Not specific, something. And what that does is your brain starts to search for that something. But more importantly, what it does is it connects to the feeling of amazing.
I was going to ask you, you're looking for the emotion, aren't you? You're not looking for a specific. Your target is the emotion, how you feel. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm following.
Because if you got it. So once we do that, that becomes your driver. Or what I teach is something called your driver to change state. It's the emotion. Once we drive your emotion over, it changes your belief and attitude towards what you're about to do, which changes the hat you put on, the role, or the version of you. And so when we can do that, your brain starts then feeling differently. It starts focusing on that very end specific step. It starts to Google in its brain something amazing to happen, which changes what, Denise? It changes your belief to what's possible that day. It changes your attitude to people, places, things, tasks that you're about to do. It changes already how you're talking to yourself, what tonality, what pace. And it also changes how you value yourself in that day. Because before you did this little routine, remember, we're dropping our brainwave frequency through meditation, using binaural beats or brainwave frequencies or deep breathing. But once we drop the brainwave frequency, then we have access to all of the software that I retrain. And if we can just do this one exercise in the morning, then we start to form a new habit real, real quick. And then what happens is that feeling starts to become normal and the day starts to change. And this sounds real, real cheesy and like whatever. This is straight neuroscience. But even more than that, just try it. Right? Just practice that for a week and you'll see the very difference in the way you start to approach the day. And when we can do that, then this is how we start to change or open up to a different possibility or a different version of reality to that day. If that makes sense, Denise, I tried to do it quick.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I have a question that popped up when you were talking.
Yeah.
When you're making these mood changes or you're searching for that emotion to kind of tag something to your day, doesn't that also change you physically? Don't you stand a little bit straighter? Don't you breathe a little deeper?
Absolutely. It changes your physiology instantly.
Except
yeah, because
that's where I was
about,
going.
Just think about smiling, Denise, right? You could be miserable, but if you hold, like, force a smile on your face and you're like, I don't want to smile, but if you force even a forcing a smile on yourself and hold it for a minute, what happens is your physiology will change. The chemical response will change. And yeah, you're right. When someone's anxious, what happens is we breathe very shallow from the top of our chest, or we hold our breath. And so that instantly tells our brain that we're anxious. So we could even do it the opposite way. You could actually catch your breathing and change your breathing into big stomach, diaphragm breathing, belly breaths, and just regulate your breathing, which tells your brain that you're safe. And if it tells your brain that you're safe, then the emotion changes and we can start to do this little routine a different way.
I do that a lot because I'll be staring at I have a bank of monitors, but I'll be looking at one monitor in particular, and I'll all of a sudden realize I'm barely breathing. My shoulders are tense,
right.
My head hurts, and I'll have
right.
to walk off. I do a lot of walking off. I'm the queen of walking off.
It works.
You know, I have to get away. I have to break that kind of focus, and I go back outside underneath those pecan trees. If anything happens to them, I'm moving. I'm leaving. But here's the thing. I go out there and I do deep breathing exercises because I've realized that I've given myself a headache.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not paying attention.
I'm
tension. That's exactly right. And I did it to myself. So I undo it.
Yeah. Beautiful. And that's the whole, you just hit the nail on the head right there. We did it to ourselves so we can change it. And that doesn't matter if you're having the most incredible experience right now in life and business and money and everything. It's awesome. How can you consistently keep that? How can you level up and move, get what's even better than that, right? Because there's always a level. There's always a level. We only perceive what we know. But it's like colors. Well, there's way more colors that we can than we can see. There's way more sound that we can hear. There's way more emotions that we can probably feel. And there's way more to life than we even thought was possible. And if we can open that up and connect all of this, these techniques and tools and systems to even a bigger purpose than ourselves, I mean, giving back, charity, actually creating legacy a different way, then what happens is the motivation factor for us getting results even expands. And that's what you find with the highest level of people. Well, it's people who've got money, they've bought the cars, the houses, they've got all this stuff. They don't really care about it. They're just interested in absolutely growth and becoming the best version of them so they can perform at their very best. Because if they do, they know magic can happen in any different aspect. But when people are still focused on money, everyone's like, it becomes a very fear response. They're trying to accumulate things, and that accumulating things, well, it can only get you so far. Then what happens is people get stuck because they bought all the things. They've gained significance from all of these things, and then they realize that those things aren't going to get them the results that they want, and then people get stuck. So it's about then leveling up the way they're thinking about their life, their business, the results they're getting, which then really, really creates the next level of performance. And it's very hard to tell people that or show people that when people are worrying constantly about paying the bills. But once you've moved past that, then there's a whole nother level of the world.
You know what, Andy? We got to talking and we covered some fascinating topics, but I did not have, we've only got a minute left. I told you this was the quickest 60 minutes on the internet. But
for sure.
90 seconds, I just lied. But I have so many more questions, like, you know, how the best in the world are always getting better. One big question I see constantly on the internet, which I try to avoid, believe it or not. I mean, I'm convinced the internet was created for me and I just share it with y'all, but it's getting so nasty out there. I avoid a lot of it. But one of the things that I see all the time is, you know, well, you've already got all this money. Why are you trying to make more money? Definitely want to get your response on that. And then, you know, I had a lot of questions. And number one, focus shift that can explode your business, getting or giving. Would you come back? I mean, I would love to have you come back and we can cover this topic a little bit more in depth.
Well, we didn't even get into any of those initial questions, did we?
I know.
That we actually set, and there was a ton of questions.
So,
I'd love to, Denise.
Okay,
it's like the easiest hour ever. So I'd love to.
Well, and you saw what I did there. I did it on the radio, so you can't say no. So very tricky, but it worked.
Hey, sneaky.
Very sneaky. But yeah, I would love to have you come back because there's so much that, and I want, you know, I wanted to have you maybe give some, I don't know, how do you want to say, you know, give not just tips and advice, but maybe some case studies. So definitely we'll get you back and cover a lot of that. So before we
talk and talk and talk, so yeah, anytime.
I think
I'm both excited about it. Absolutely.
Oh, lovely. Well, listen, we just stopped recording. I'm sorry, we lost the live stream, but we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
So tell people where they can find you.
The simplest place is to just type Mindset by Design in and you'll find me. mindsetbydesign.co/testimonials means that you're going to find all the people I've worked with. And yeah, you can type in Mindset by Design in iTunes and you'll find my podcast too.
Excellent. Well, listen, it has been so much fun chatting with you. I mean, the road I've been going down recently, you just kind of confirmed everything I was thinking. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for all the wonderful tips and the advice that you shared with our audience. And I very much look forward to getting you back on the show pretty soon.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun. And I'm always open to connect with your audience and whoever needs help and support. So I'm excited about coming on again. And we can definitely answer all those questions.
Excellent.
And get some good answers out.
Excellent. Well, listen, before we say goodbye to our audience, I would like to remind them to be sure to look for us on iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. And where do they find you in iTunes?
Mindset by Design.
Perfect. Andy, thank you. And to our audience, listen to this about as many times as you can stand it. There's some great stuff in here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll speak to everyone really, really soon.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.